What is going on, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Elevate. Today's episode is actually going to be a presentation from a seminar that I did all around leadership. So whether you are trying to lead your family, if you are in a career where you have a leadership position, or maybe you're a business owner, executive, or somebody that's higher up in the rankings, taking orders and passing them down to people to help bring the greatness out of the people around you. So this was one of the events I did for Impact Education Week, and I think that you guys will really enjoy what is inside today. I hope that you guys are having an amazing holiday season. And if you have questions or you enjoy this episode, please feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram at Kate and Michelle. But let's get into it.
Welcome to Elevate. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and I cannot wait to share this episode with you. As an evidence-based coach, mentor, and entrepreneur, I'm obsessed with learning and personal development as it's transformed my entire life, as well as those I get to work with. And to be quite frank, it's literally the entire reason this podcast exists, to fuel your growth, gain perspective, and acquire knowledge. So buckle up, friends, you're in for a treat. And as always, thank you for supporting me and the show so we can continue to elevate our own lives as well as those you share this with. Now, let's get into it.
What's going on, friend? My name is Kate and Michelle, and I'm the CEO head coach at Level Up Elite Fitness. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership, but I want to do it in a different way. My mission here today is not to preach to you what type of leader you should be or tell you what you must do, because leadership is almost a subjective experience. And so the first thing that you want to consider is, what does leadership mean to you? How do you define that? First, we have to get clear on what we're aiming at before we can break down steps to move you towards becoming that ideal that you envision yourself being. Now, I also want to share some things that most people don't talk about when it comes to building a business, because let's be honest, it feels like culture right now is just like everybody should build a business. And if you're not building a business, then what are you doing? And fuck the 9-to-5 and all that mess. And I want to tell you what it also comes with. I wish people had told me this when I was first getting into business. And I'm hopeful that this message will help you have some realistic expectations, but also really step into your vision. And I'll get into the misconceptions around that later in this presentation. But first, I want to tell you a little about what it means to me to be a leader. And my goal with anybody, whether it's a client that I'm working with or a team member I'm elevating, is to inspire, align, and then activate, right? To maximize success, you absolutely have to know your people. Whether that's your clients or your team members, you need to know their strengths and you need to know their weaknesses, because your obligation, once you understand them, is to make sure you amplify their strengths and minimize the downside of their weaknesses. And so I want you to consider first, what is the vision? What is your vision, right? The leader typically is the visionary, but they also need to be high in conscientiousness. And that means the willingness to do the work. People naturally, as far as personality metrics, if you're looking for doers versus sayers, one of the things that I did very early that helped me understand who was the best fit for the role, and I'll talk about teams in a little bit, but it was understanding their personality metrics. And so one thing that I do with every single one of my team members is have them take a personality test, because I want to understand how their personality is structured so that I understand them and can lead them appropriately. So to me, being a leader, in order for me to inspire, align, and especially to activate the individual, I need to know what's going on between the ears. I need to understand how they work. Because if I don't understand how somebody receives information, how they internalize information, what motivates them, what their vision in life is, I can't lead them down the path and have them invested in that if I'm not invested in them. And so one of the most important things, whether it's studying temperament or personality so that you understand your clients or your team members, it's knowing that they think, operate, function, and want different things than you do. And if you want people to buy into what you're doing and what you're building, then you need to make sure that your mission aligns with them fitting into it. Oftentimes, leaders only look at what they want to achieve. What is the end goal for me? And I think that's where lots of leaders, CEOs, and such miss the mark, right? My goal is to make sure that whoever I'm bringing in again, whether it's a client, the number one thing you should be asking yourself before you try to pitch somebody or close them or, you know, whatever your vision is for the success of your business, the first question should be, can I actually help this person? Do I actually have the capacity to understand and know how to solve this specific problem? If you don't, then you have to figure out what type of leader do you want to be? Are you in it to grow as quickly as possible? Are you in it to grow and lean on your reputation? Right? Because your reputation, once it crashes, it's hard to come back from that. But your vision can grow at a healthy rate, just like you would tell your clients to lose weight at a sustainable rate. Growth is very much the same. And the reflection of the growth in your business will also be a reflection of the growth within you. I see this time and time and time again. Whenever things go really well for somebody, it's because they've stayed true to who they are and aligned themselves with that, removing the comparison of what everybody else is doing. Because you also have to remember, when it comes to being a leader, is you have to have the conviction in your vision. You need to know that this is going to come to fruition, right? Because if you don't have hope, if you aren't inspired, if you share the lows and you're always down and stressed out and mad at somebody, do you think anybody's buying into that? No. And so one of the things that we also have to understand is being a leader isn't telling people what to do, it's showing them, right? If you want to be a leader that people trust, that they respect, that they honor, that they listen to, your example sets the standards for your company. I put every ounce of the doing onto myself. Our core values, our visions, our SOPs, our KPIs, I'm in there too. I have somebody checking me, because I'm not above anybody on my team. And I am also human, right? And so you need people and you need to understand, depending on the type of leader you want to be, which is what goes back to the very beginning, is leadership needs to be something that carries out a vision of an aspirational version of you. And then you need to learn to bridge the gap between who you are today and the leader that you need to become in order to accomplish the vision that you have for yourself. And so you need to also have really effective communication with people. Going back to temperament and going back to personalities, if you don't understand the people and how they receive information, what motivates them, what type of tonality do you need to use with them? Can you be a straight shooter, or do you need to lead with some softness, some compassion, and some empathy before you address the actual issue so that the individual doesn't internalize, right? So you need to understand how they think, because your obligation as a leader, this is one thing I tell every client that comes into my business and everybody on my team, my obligation is to get the best version of you out of you. And setting that standard allows them to understand, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to call you on your bullshit. And I'm also going to hold your hand and help you improve. I'm going to help you realign, adjust, learn from the mistakes that we all make, and move forward better because of them. And so understanding that if you have the ability to communicate with people effectively, that's 90% of all of your battles. But it's the character traits and the ability to do that without getting emotional, assuming anything, and jumping to conclusions. And so the best framework that I have to use around this is a 4-step framework that allows you to effectively communicate with people around you, right? It's appreciate, understand, isolate, and then counter, right? So if you're giving feedback to somebody, you can say, I appreciate how hard you've been working at this, and I can see that you're getting a little bit frustrated with this. And I understand how starting something new, how learning something or changing a system, whatever it is that they're working on or that they're coming up short in, can be entirely frustrating. I totally get that. I remember when I was learning this, and it's just like learning algebra, and you can tell them a story where you really connect with the struggle that they're having. And then you can present a solution. So we want to isolate what the actual problem is, right? But when we operate to this degree, it's outside of alignment with our values, right? And you can see, and then you want to present evidence. So you remove it from being about them, but about the behavior, because we don't attack people. People are amazing, but that doesn't mean their behavior is always great. And so you want to isolate the problematic issue and not attack the person. It has nothing to do with them. Most people are good. I genuinely believe that. But people don't know what they don't know, and people often make mistakes, right? This is where people fear failure, but there are no failures, only lessons. And so you want to make sure that you're guiding them to a proper solution where you can say, hey, what if next time we tried this? I want to make sure that you understand this SOP. I want to make sure that this happens and this happens. What do you think about that? Because you want them to buy into your solution. Telling people what to do doesn't allow them to have their own autonomy. And micromanaging as a leader doesn't allow your team to actually step up to their own potential and start taking action for you, right? The best employees ever are the ones that see that you need something done. They don't ask permission. They just do the thing. That's an asset to you. But you can't do that if you're always double-checking, cross-checking, micromanaging every little thing that they do. And so making sure that you understand how to communicate in one really important frame as a leader that I think is critical. And as a Division I athlete, and I was always the captain of my team, I thought about this going into the locker room, especially at halftime if we were down. My goal was never to talk down to people or be mad at people, okay? When you're having a difficult conversation, you need to go into it thinking, how do I want to walk away from this? What is the goal outcome that I'm actually aiming at? Because most people go in really frustrated and they want to reprimand somebody. They want to blame them for something happening. But just because you won the blame game battle doesn't mean that the problem is actually fixed. And so if my goal is to make sure that they don't make the same mistake again, I want to understand how they made the mistake, what went wrong, what role I may have played in that. Maybe I didn't communicate enough, right? Maybe I didn't remind them of something, right? There could have been some role in that that I played. Maybe I just wasn't spending enough time with them on this one thing and they felt afraid to ask because they were struggling with understanding a concept, right? And maybe I can say, I can acknowledge that maybe I should have followed up sooner and made sure you understood. I can own that. But in order to solve the actual problem, my goal is to bring the person closer to me so that we can have effective communication, so that we can move forward and resolve the problem and they don't make the same mistake again. And so if my goal outcome is to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're moving towards the same vision and the same goal, and I need their strengths to get there. That's why you have a team, right? They have different strengths than you do. If they don't, then you hired the wrong person. But in order for us to get there, I need them to bring the greatness out of them. And I need to make sure, again, my obligation is to pull that out of them. So I'm going to remind them of that and say, how do I help you do this? Let's talk about that. Let's resolve this problem so it doesn't happen again. And then the beauty of that is nobody's upset. The relationship is stronger because there was transparent communication without attacking or assuming anything. And now we've got a solution to the problem. And your team will trust you to lead them, but also to listen to them. And this is one of the most important leadership skills of any of them all. If you can think through this, then you're 90% of the way there. Most people want to feel heard, and most people want to feel understood, even if you disagree. You are not obligated to agree with things, but you are obligated, especially if somebody's on your team or working with you, to hear what they have to say. Because the biggest mistake most people make is not worrying about what they don't know. It's not what you don't know. It's what you think you do. And one of the things I think has made me successful to this point is assuming that I could be wrong. And so I never walk in with, I'm right. This is the right thing to do. I'll say, hey, I think this. What do you think about that? Because right? When you're around a group of great minds, they have different perspectives than you do, and they should. Because you want people around you that challenge your growth too. Right? And that was one of the fun things for me, was looking at the strengths that other people had that I don't, and allowing them to lead me, to allow the vision and the entity, the business, to grow itself. Right? And that's where you have to be able to, as a leader, I think this is one of the things that I struggle with that I think most people don't actually talk about, is separating yourself from the business, separating yourself from what you do. So separating yourself from that one client that was upset about something when you have 100 others that are fucking happy and thriving. You are not your business, but your decisions will impact that business. And so when it comes to the way that I think about my business, is I have to look out for that thing like a baby to make sure that it is viable, to make sure that it can survive, to make sure that it's got the right fuel systems, the right SOP, the right structure, the right, you know, system for the client to move through, the right upgrades if we need to, the right opportunities, the right solutions. And I'm always revising those every quarter. Sometimes I need to adjust something. Sometimes I want to add something. Sometimes I'm like, it's amazing. I don't need to touch anything right now. I'm not aware of another problem yet that I need to provide a solution to. And so as you grow, you also have to know, most importantly, again, going back to the beginning of what is leadership, what your vision is. The beautiful thing about what we do is I never see myself competing with anyone. And comparison is the thing that will get you caught chasing the wrong things only to achieve them and realize it didn't bring you what you thought it would. And so knowing what you want to build, knowing what it has to look like, knowing that you want the right things from the beginning is a step that most people overlook. Because the worst mistakes that people make in life is chasing something to gain status, because they think once they have the status, it will make them happy. Until you get to the point of achieving the thing, and you knew 5 years ago you wanted to go a different path, but you wouldn't let yourself because you were like too deep, right? Too much time invested, too stubborn. Your ego says no. And then you're just continuing to do the things over and over again, but it's not leading you to what you actually wanted. Maybe you just wanted peace. Maybe you just wanted security. Maybe you just wanted to provide for your family. Now you're worried about keeping up with the Joneses, and you got to rent Lamborghinis and get a photo shoot done to keep your reputation on brand. That is one of the most heartbreaking things that I see, is people not living out the things that they want to do. Now, if you know anything about me personally, and I know I wanted to dive into the content today, but I am a professional psychology student right now. I will be graduating in 2025. And this is why mindset personal development is also an element of the business that I run. And I work with a lot of coaches who struggle with imposter syndrome, frustration, lack of communication, lack of boundaries, self-respect, standards. It's okay to have standards in your business. It's okay to say no to people. But you have to know why you're saying no and who you're saying no to. You have to have so much clarity on where you want to go that it's easy for you to lead people, because that vision also inspires them. You don't want to be a copycat brand of something. Somebody's already done it once and they probably do it better. The only way for you to step out, to stand out in a crowd of people that people say it's saturated, I think there's just not that many great coaches, is to be yourself. Nobody can beat you at the game of being you, and nobody can outbeat your vision. If you have a vision, it should be different from everything else that's being offered. Otherwise, you're competing and you're putting yourself in a position to be competing. Now, you also have to know, even if you want to do something that everybody else is doing, it's your right to fucking do it. Maybe that is the thing that will bring you to the actual outcome that you want. Maybe just having security and following the steps that somebody else took and knowing that it works gives you the security that you need and peace of mind. And that's okay. There is no wrong vision to build, so long as it improves the quality of your life and improves the quality of life of the people that you're helping. And I would highly encourage you to think about everything in terms of decades. If you have a vision, don't put a year deadline on that thing. Don't put a 2 year deadline on that thing, especially if this is relevant to business. Nobody's buying into a mission where you say, yep, we're going to get there in 2 years and then we're done. And the people that you're serving will realize you're just a grifter. And that is not a reputation anybody wants. So know that your passion will lead to your purpose, but in your purpose, you will have to persevere to reach the peak of your performance, right? And then capitalize on that vision. But it has to be intrinsic to you. And so one of the most important things when it comes to leadership, when it comes to a vision, is values. Now, my core values stand for life. And I actually cultivated these back when I was playing Division I basketball at UNC Greensboro, because it was what our coach had laid out for our vision. And it was leadership, integrity, fortitude, and excellence. So for me, when I'm in my CEO seat, when I'm making decisions, when I'm leading my team, when there are hard days, when there are great days, I force myself to operate entirely under those values every day, all the time, because I have to live the value. I don't get to preach it. I don't get to say, you need to be like this. My obligation as a leader is to lead by example, to give people evidence that I don't only believe these things to be true, I believe in them so much so that I act them out on a daily basis. Because words don't mean anything. You can be a great salesman with a shit product. You have to focus on what are your values. Now, every individual, you should have personal core values. But again, because your business is not you, you also need your business to have core values. And you need to remind your people of them constantly, not just what they are, but how they look. How do they manifest? Are they working and walking in alignment with those values? Because they are an extension of that business, as are you. Again, you're not the business, but if you want that thing to grow, you need to be the number one representative of that thing. You need to believe in it so much so it's integrated into your character, into your vision, into your values, into what you stand for. Right? And you have so much conviction around that because you walk in it. right? Leadership is not being so far above everybody around you that you just get to point fingers and tell people what to do. It's being in the trenches with them. It's saying, you need help, I got you. It's taking responsibility for things that aren't actually tactically, technically your fault. You have to be unshakable. When the days are hard, you need to stay optimistic. When the days are great, you need to know that this won't stay this way forever. You have to be able to ride the midline so solid that if there's something wrong, people don't know. You don't bring your personal life to work. You don't sulk. You don't make excuses. And you defend people. One thing that I'm really adamant about that I think makes a really great leader is praising people in public and addressing them in private. I will stand behind my team every single day. I believe in them more than they believe in themselves sometimes, and I totally get that. But if there's an issue, I'm not going publicly to talk about it. I'm going to the person addressing the problem with the framework I shared earlier, and we're going to work that out, and they're going to be better because of it, and we're going to have a better relationship because of it. But addressing things in private by admiring those people who are working for you and your vision in public is important and critical because, to be quite frank, I don't care about receiving the acknowledgement or validation for the success of what we do. I just care that we cultivate success in what we do. And I think if you want to be a great leader, it's learning to praise people who are doing great things that are helping you move things forward, because you cannot do it alone. Human beings are not built to do things alone. But on the other side of that, you need to make sure that you understand some of the trade-offs of being a leader, of building an entity, of being an entrepreneur. Because I think one of the hardest things and the things that I wish people talked about was how lonely this journey can be. And so I just want to give you peace of mind in this moment. Because as you grow and evolve, as you start to take the action to build something that you have a vision about that nobody else really believes that you can do, because you probably, when you start, don't hang around a ton of entrepreneurs, it can feel fearful and uncertain and absolutely wild. And you can be a great coach and you don't know anything about business. I know that was my story. I didn't study business. I never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. I didn't go to school for that. I was going to be a doctor. Now I'm studying to be a clinical psychologist. I plan to integrate that into my business. But so I had to give myself permission to learn and learn quickly, to fail and fail rapidly so I could learn and get up and improve myself in the business domain. And so you have to understand that you, at the beginning, especially, you're going to be learning a lot. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to need people to support you. And this is much like being a coach, right? The people that are coming in are leaning on you for your guidance because they've done everything and it feels like none of it works and they don't know how to arrange this ridiculous puzzle to achieve the goal that they have for themselves. And so they're leaning on you to guide them. And this is why I think people need people. Even as a successful CEO, I would say successful in my own description of the word. Even where I'm at, I know that I can improve. And so one of the things that I think makes a great leader is understanding what drives you and integrating that in itself entirely. So for me, my passion is growth. I am a sponge of knowledge. I operate constantly out of the frame of curiosity. I'm curious about people. I'm curious about things. I'm curious about everything from a physical standpoint to a philosophical standpoint. And I allow myself to lead with those things. But you have to understand where you're moving and why you're moving there. And also having the ability, like I said earlier, to win without recognition. And the last thing that I really want to emphasize is that when you are being a leader, your job is to create opportunity for people. It is not to give them handouts. It is your job to have a vision in how they integrate into it, but it's not your job to do the work for them. And this is where it's okay to have standards in your business. It's okay to have a grading system, a performance system with how people are performing within the business. Again, from a client's perspective or a team member's perspective. Right? If they are not showing up and committing to the things that they said that they were going to and the agreements in which you had put into place and you've spent the time invested to coaching them and investing in their skills. I know that we invest in continuing education for my team. If they aren't capitalizing on those things and they're actively choosing to not, then you also have to understand that letting people go is going to be part of your learning curve. understanding that they might be amazing people, amazing human beings, people that you might have close relationships with. But you can't create a job for people that will hurt your business. And it's not good for them because they know they're screwing up. Like, these people know. And learning to fire people, because if you operate with integrity, that's one of my core values, if they are not fitting into the vision, and if they do not have the strengths that are necessary to move the business forward, and again, they're frustrated and they're not feeling like they're succeeding, then it's best for both parties to be willing to look out for the best interest of each other and the vision, to know that that's not the right fit. And that's also okay. And you will learn that you're going to have to do that at some point. It's a part of every entrepreneur's journey, unless you're a solopreneur, which I don't think is a bad thing whatsoever. If I could go back, I would do things differently, but that will probably be a podcast for a different time. However, just remember, it's opportunity is yours to make and it's theirs to create. They need to take action on those things, and don't be afraid to say no. Last thing that I heard recently, and I said this a little bit earlier, but I think it's really important, is to know what you're hoping to achieve by doing this. Is it going to bring you what you think it's going to bring you? Because there are no solutions most of the time, only trade-offs. And everything that you want will come at a cost. You have to know going into it and remind yourself, if it's for freedom of time, a security for your family, more time with your children, and then your business becomes your life and you don't have any time with your wife or spouse or any time with your children, is that really the vision that you had? And are those the trade-offs that you want to make? You have to build the business that you want, not the business you feel obligated to create, because we're measuring who has the biggest stick. Stick, like a twig. Get out of your head. I shouldn't have said that. It's too late now. My point being, if you're going to play the game, make sure you're playing the game that you want to play. When you create, make sure you create from a place where you want to create. Because the world needs to hear your voice. The world needs to hear what you have to say. But they don't need to hear what somebody else has already said 17 times just from you, right? You have a fingerprint that nobody else has to leave an imprint on the world that nobody else can. But that's going to take courage, because you will walk off the beaten path and people will judge you and they will criticize you. But when it comes to status games, and I wrote about this in my newsletter, when it comes to status games, they're the wrong game to play. And the easiest way to not be involved in them is simply not to engage. If you know the game that you're playing, your only goal is to continue to be able to play it. And if you can do that and do it well, you will not only be a great leader, but successful in the way that truly you want to be. So with that, thank you so much for coming to this event. Thank you so much for listening. And if you ever need help, advice, or you just enjoy this and you'd like to give me some feedback, I always appreciate that. Keep kicking ass. Go get what's yours.